You're listening to Men's Total Health. Call in now to ask about men's health with Dr. McGuire. From the Walter Center of the North Shore University Health Center.
Welcome to the Men's Total Health Show. My name is David Hochberg, your host. On the phone with me is Dr. Michael McGuire, chief urologist at the North Shore University Medical Center. How are you, doctor? It helps, doctor, when I bring your microphone up. How are you, buddy?
I'm just excited to see you, man.
Is there a remedy for a taxicab driver that takes a half hour to get to WGN from the West Loop because he drives 14 miles an hour and hits every single stoplight between here, between 1141 West Randolph and 431 North Michigan? Is there any, like, medication I could take? Because I literally was just, for the love of God.
Well, urologically, I would recommend removing parts of him urologically, but I don't think that you should be doing that.
He gave me a God bless as I got out of the cab. I'm like, oh great, now I'm going to be guilt ridden the rest of the day. 312-521-8600. If you've got any problems with your urinary tract, with your prostate, with your health, anything. I mean, it all comes down to, doc, if the engine ain't working, the car ain't moving. And
right.
It all comes down to, if you're not feeling good and you can't do certain things like go to the bathroom, can't have sex, can't ejaculate, can't get it up. I mean,
what's the point?
What's the point of getting out of bed?
Exactly. And, you know, how many times a day do you urinate? You know, it should be a good, enjoyable experience. You shouldn't have to fear it or not look forward to it, and it should be something you can rely on. There's a lot of guys out there who look forward with dread, or they're, you know, get up 6-7 times a night. There's no reason to do that. There are ways to fix that. It's easy, and we can make you back to where, you know, be anxious to write your name in the snow.
I remember those days, buddy. Let me tell you. 312-521-8600. Dr. Michael McGuire, head urologist. I got to stop saying that. Chief urologist at North Shore University Health Systems. He's broadcasting from the John and Carol Walter Urological Center at Glenbrook Hospital in Glenview, Illinois. Doctor, your phone number, in case people want to reach you directly, is
847-503-3000.
503-3000. And, you know, we've been doing the show for about 16 weeks now. I think we're coming to the end of our 16-week trial run. And we've covered everything from prostate cancer to premature ejaculations to reverse ejaculations. I didn't even know that there was such a thing. And, you know, all points in between. And we talked about the groundbreaking treatment and groundbreaking research that you guys are doing and your staff is doing and the doctors at North Shore University Health System is doing at the John and Carol Walter Urological Center about breaking down genes and how genes can interact with not only prostate cancer but other types of cancer and try to predict other types of illnesses before they are on the radar screen, so to speak. And what have you gotten out of the past 16 weeks, doctor?
So there are a lot of things, and we like to think about doctors like mechanics, but we're not really mechanics, and we don't want to be somebody that you come in with a broken something and we fix it. We want to see you before that, and we want to keep that Ferrari running. We should be doing tune-ups, and that's really what we want to do. We want to make it run. And, yeah, sometimes you get a flat tire. Sometimes something goes wrong, and we got to fix it. And we have that capability. But in this day and age, our real goal is to keep you feeling great and feeling well. And you know, it's no longer good enough to just not be sick. You really should be doing well. And things that, you know, nobody dies from peeing too much.
Right.
That's reality. But if it's screwing up your life, if you can't go to a movie, if you can't go out, you know, then I can make that a lot better very easily.
And I mentioned you and your show and the topics that we talk about a lot on Dr. Block's show, who's a plastic surgeon up in Highland Park in Glenview. You know, he's in the Glen close to your facility there by Glenbrook South High School, right down the street. And his philosophy, basically doing what you just said, was he likes to get the patients in early for pre-treatments, right? Keep skin care and the little procedures. So when you go in for the big procedure, people don't recognize it. And to try to tie that into what you're saying is that if you see that there's a problem, nip it in the bud before it becomes a gigantic problem, and maybe you could just go in with some type of medication. Maybe it's an injection. Maybe it's therapy.
Oh,
but
hey, a lot of time you come in to see me, and I'll tell you, it's nothing to worry about. And that's, I love those visits when people come in and they're scared to death. Because, of course, everybody, you know, I'm a cancer surgeon. I get it. Everybody's afraid, oh, my God, I got cancer. But most times it's not. And in this era where we are diagnosing things so early that symptoms are usually related to something else. And if you come in, and a lot of guys, they're like, in the back of their mind, you can just see it. Oh, my God, I got cancer. I'm going to die. He's going to tell me this. He's going to tell me this. And then you tell him, no, it's just a kidney stone, or no, it's this. Oh, my gosh, it makes their days so great, and it makes you feel so great as a doctor that, you know, that I'm out to make my patients feel better. That's what it's all about.
And today's show, the topic is, you know, well, you got a number of different topics. You know, one of the topics we're going to be talking about is when to go to the ER, emergency room, because you have a true emergency. How to choose a urologist, because it's like buying a car. You want to find the right salesman to, because basically you are a technician, okay? For lack of a better term, a medically trained technician instead of on a fine automobile, but on the human body.
There are different people for different things, and you need to look for that. And, you know, one of the things about urology is I'll see the same guy for 20 years. I've got patients who I've seen go all the way from, you know, when they first came in, they were just retiring, and now, unfortunately, a bunch of them are getting dementia and things like that. But it's a lifelong relationship, and you spend many years with these guys. So it's important to find somebody you can talk to, somebody you trust, and somebody that you can see often and that you know is going to have your best interest at heart.
Phone lines are open, 312-521-8600. 312-521-8600 is the phone and the text line. Dr. McGuire, Chief Urologist of the North Shore University Health Systems, John and Carol Walter Urological Center in Glenview at Glenbrook Hospital. So let's say you can't urinate. Okay, what's a good amount of time before, and this goes for guys and women, right? Men and women.
You know? Oh, sure. So the reality is, this is something that, you know, if you've ever held it too long, you know how much it hurts. This gets you to the emergency room. So I never have somebody who, you know, it's very rare when somebody doesn't go to the bathroom. Now, so the vast majority of people feel like they got to go. They're going every 2 minutes. They're in severe pain. And after 8-10 hours that they're in such severe pain, they go to the emergency room. Very common situation. They release the urine, often by putting a small catheter into the bladder, little tube, drains the urine out, makes you feel better immediately. And it's my job to figure out why you went into retention and why this happened. But this is something that used to cause kidney failure, used to cause backup of the urine up in the kidneys, and could kill people. That almost never happens anymore. But in most people, you know this is wrong because you're going to go to the emergency room because it just hurts so badly.
What are the major reasons for not urinating? Is there like a top two or three list?
Oh, sure. For men, far and away, it's prostate issues, benign enlargement of the prostate. See this every day. As every guy gets over 30, as you get, your prostate starts to grow. As we've talked about many times, this is why you can, you know, basically spend a lot of time in the line at the Hawks game, waiting for the guy in front of you to get done. And the older he is, the more you're like, oh, shoot, I should have picked the other line, you know, because you know it's going to take a while. But it can get so bad that it can make it so you can't pee at all. That's far and away. Now, after surgery is another very common situation. Pain medicines, not moving your bowels, not moving around, all those things contribute to you not being able to urinate.
So that could shut down your system or put a little flapper on the...
No, it just makes it hard to go, and your bladder's kind of a speedometer of your body. If your body's not doing well, your bladder's not going too, and so when everything else shuts down, it shuts down too.
So let's say you've got a severe pain in your side, and it's not the wife in the bed next to you. or the husband in the bed next to you. Let's not be sexist here, but you know, sharp pain. What do you mean? Is it shooting pain?
Kidney stones are a very common presentation, and kidney stones and urinary retention, people go to the ER because it hurts like mad. It's among the worst pain I've ever had, and it's the closest men will ever get to childbirth. And, you know, the kidney stones, no matter how big they are, can just bring you to your knees. And so you know when something's going on. Now, I've got people who have had recurrent kidney stones. And when you have stones over and over again, sometimes what happens is you figure this out. You don't have to go to the emergency room every time you get pain or things like that. But the vast majority of people, the first time they have this pain, it is so severe, they don't know what's going on, but they know something really bad's happening. So they go to the emergency room, and the emergency room sees this every day and makes you feel so much better with pain medicine.
So is this like you're not able to move pain? Is this like stars in your eyes pain? Is this like
it's stars in your eyes. You're often sweating. The classic description of this is you just can't get comfortable. Yeah. So you're moving around. You're doing that. So like when you have appendicitis or things like that, classically when something like that happens, you want to sit as still as possible, and it hurts to hit a bump in the car and all those kind of things. So this kind of pain is you just can't get comfortable. You're pacing, you're moving up and down and things like that because it just hurts so much.
Is it kind of like a slip disc in the side of your body pain? Is that what, because you and I both had blown discs, and we both know that.
Be careful that, when you say that.
Woof, yeah. Thank you. We're at a 15-second delay. We're good.
Okay,
but, is it that severe? Because I've had those twice. It's worse.
Good. Yeah, you know, so I remember when that occurred, but I've never had a kidney stone, but by report, it is. I've seen some men who I think are absolutely some of the toughest men I've ever met, just brought to their knees.
Wow, well, that sucked. What about if you got fevers and you're if you're dizzy and sweating, and how does that tie into not peeing?
So if you have kidney stones, or if you have urine backed up, especially with a kidney stone or something like that, and then you start to feel sick, blocked urine is a great place for bacteria to grow. And they can grow over and over and over again. And if you've got a kidney stone, flank pain, and fevers and things like that, you need to get it right away to the emergency room. This is a way people can die from a kidney stone. It's not very common. We intervene and save almost everybody, but it can get really bad. And so that's why if you're just not feeling well and you've got a known kidney stone, get right away to the emergency room.
What is dialysis? I hear that all the time. I know what it is. You go in and get your urine out, but how does it work? And walk us through that real quick.
Okay, so your kidneys are basically just a filter mechanism. And what they do is they take your blood and then they basically filter out the bad stuff and then give you the clean blood on the way out. Well, if your kidneys don't do that, they can do hemodialysis, which is typically how you do this. And they basically hook you up to a machine where the blood comes out of your body into the machine, and the machine basically washes out the blood and gets rid of the bad stuff, and then it comes back into you through another needle, and then that gets washed in. So you get the bad stuff out and the good stuff in. It's much better to do this with your own kidneys than with the dialysis, but if you don't have dialysis, people would die.
What is a good time frame to be going to the restroom if you're drinking the right amount of water? Is there a general? I know Baskin Robbins is 31 flavors for every flavor of the day. You know, and everybody's different. But what's the general rule of thumb? If you're having your 64 ounces of water every day and you're drinking what you're supposed to be drinking, what do you, is it every half hour? Or if you don't go in, if you're drinking 64 ounces of water a day and you don't go in 8 hours, is that a concern?
Most people can tell by comfort, you know, and your body is pretty good at telling you how much you should drink. There are people who overdo water. Water is great. It is calorie free. It's a great appetite suppressant. So if you're a big guy like me or you and you're trying to lose some weight, drink all the water you can because it fills you up. And then you don't eat and things like that, and it's free. But that makes you pee more. There's just no question about it. The more you drink, the more you pee. And so your typical bladder holds let me see. So it's ounces. So, you know, 10 ounces, 20 ounces in your bladder. Mm-hmm. So if you drink 64 ounces, you're going to go at least 3-4 times a day. So every 4 to 6 hours. Now, the more you drink, the more you pee.
So if you're downing 64 ounces and you don't go in 12 hours, and assuming you're not outside schwitzing and doing very, very extenuous, strenuous activities that would cause you to sweat and to lose that water that you had and that you drank, is it a concern if you drank your 8 ounces a day during the day and you're sitting in an office and it's temperature controlled and you don't urinate? Is that something to be concerned about?
Odds are, if you're not uncomfortable, no. Your body is really good at this, and your body tells you when your bladder gets stretched too much. It's the very rare person who comes in who is unable to urinate and doesn't know about it. This is usually something that we see in older men who, over time and years, their prostate has been slowly blocking their urine channel and nothing comes out.
Can you go in there and clean it out? Is it something?
Absolutely.
And how do you clean something like that out?
So most commonly now I do this with a laser. There is an old-fashioned surgery, which we've been doing since the 1930s. Now we've got better scopes and things like that. But the latest technology is such that we go in there and we basically, if you think about the prostate like an orange, and you think about the peel, well, the peel is the part that has sexual function. The peel is the part that controls the urine so that you don't just leak. Well, the fruit is the part that blocks the channel. So I go in through the penis with a laser, get rid of the fruit, and leave the peel. And for 99% of guys, that makes them so much better. Now, the old way is still functional. There's a lot of guys that do it, but there's a lot less bleeding. You're out of the hospital that same day. And there's a new procedure, which we are the center for in the Midwest, called a UroLift, which is a procedure where basically we're going to start doing in the office starting January 1st, where you come in and basically I have these special clips which tie your urethra open so that instead of cleaning that stuff up, I just tie it open from the inside and that you go home and start peeing better that same day.
How many trial runs have you done on something like this?
I think we've done about 50 between all of us here, all the different urologists here.
Wow. And you'd be the first one in this area or the first one in the world to do something like this?
Well, there are some people. It was part of the study of the person who was part of the study at Northwestern subsequently left, and we were the first people to pick it up in the Midwest. We're the Midwest representative for the company.
Wow. So is that a big market? I mean, are a lot of people
having
that type of problem?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, as every guy gets older, this is something that affects at least a third of them, if not a half.
Well, so if a man or a woman, you know, if a listener's listening right now, how would they know if they should be a candidate for this type of procedure, number one, or for their loved ones to, and it's only for men with prostates, right? I mean,
it's a prostate issue. Now, we do different similar things with women, but women rarely have blockages. They have problems where they can't control the urine, and we certainly take care of that too, where we have lots of ways to help with that. But what you need to do is when you talk to a urologist, and there's lots of different ways men end up at the urologist. They can get from their friends, they can get from their internists, they can get, you know, they can look on the internet and things like that. What you need to do is to find out, and if you're having urinating problems, you want to find out, does your urologist it's called the UroLift. It's the latest thing that's been approved by the FDA. It's something that is very exciting. Are people doing that? Are people doing standard TURPs? Are they doing laser TURPs? How much are people adopting their practice of medicine? Your urologist, is he or she adopting their practice of medicine to the new technology? And are they really looking for things that really help the patient to do better?
Why would I need to go see you for a UroList? Well, you know, what would be the symptoms of, you know, raising concern to have this UroList done?
So you go to the bathroom 4 or 5 times a night. You're always tired because you got to get up and pee all the time. When you got to go right away. You can't hold it. You can't stay through a meeting all the time. You got to get up and leave a meeting or a movie. That basically your urinating is screwing up your quality of life.
Okay, so that would be a good sign above the urinal at the UC. I'm telling you.
How many times have you been here?
Right. Is this your fourth time this game? Give Dr. McGuire a call. I'm telling you, 847-503-3000, wash your hands. You know where you put it? You put it on the mirror, right? Is this the fifth time you're washing your hands? You might need a UroLift. Give me a call, 847-503-3000. You know, I think it's, of course, it's my idea. I think it's genius. So,
it is, without question.
Without question. You're listening to the Men's Total Health Show on WGN.FM. You get podcasts of previous recorded shows by going to the website, WGN.FM, type in Men's Total Health Show, and you'll be directed there. Brian will have this show up within about an hour after the show concludes. Phone number to see Dr. McGuire, one of his board-certified, well-trained, well-respected urologists at North Shore University Health Systems out of the John and Carol Walter Urological Center at Glenbrook Hospital. Give them a call, 847-503-3000, 847-503-3000. You can give us a call about all your urological concerns, all your health concerns, by either calling us at 312-521-8600 or texting us at the same number, 312-521-8600. One more time, 312-521-8600. Let's talk about choosing a doctor. Choosing the right urologist.
Before I get there, there's one other thing that brings people to the emergency room right away. And this is something that we don't talk a lot about. And this is going to bring you to the emergency room. And this, of course, is the broken penis. So this is not something...
Brian, are you paying attention to this? Okay. Brian, how old are you, Brian? 25? 24. So Brian, I would have to think, would have a better chance of having a broken penis than a 47-year-old out of shape married guy.
I have never seen this in a married guy with his wife. That's okay. All I've got to say.
Okay, so Brian, you're taking notes. Take this number down, Brian. 847-503-3000. I know you got a big weekend planned. Just in case your penis breaks this weekend, Brian, Dr. McGuire's there, open hands, ready to put your pecker back together. Okay, so go ahead.
So your penis is
hell do you break your penis?
All right, so your penis is basically two giant blood vessels wrapped by a very strong rubber band. All right, so if the penis is in an erect situation, this rubber band is there.
You see, now, if we did these type of projects in high school in science class, I would have gotten an A in science, okay? Nobody explained taking, let's make a penis, okay? Instead, we start talking about atoms and neutrons and all this other stuff, but I digress. Go ahead. We got two bladders. Go ahead.
So two blood vessels.
I'm sorry.
Two giant blood vessels, and you've got this rubber band around it. Well, if that rubber band, this only can occur when the penis is erect. So you've got an erect penis, and if it gets bent, usually by hitting something, slipping out of certain places and hitting something hard.
You want to be more specific?
I think bones is the correct answer.
Okay.
We're just going to say it slips out of a place and hits something, a firm area,
okay,
and then it basically bends.
Okay.
And it bends and it breaks that rubber band.
Oh, God.
Okay, and that rubber band, then all that blood from the inside comes out.
Where does it come out of?
It goes out into the skin underneath and around the penis. And you get this large purple penis. And most guys present right away to the emergency room with this because, oh, my God, I don't usually have a very large purple penis. It's called an eggplant deformity because that's what it looks like.
You know, ironically, that was my CB handle back in high school, the large purple penis.
I just thought Dr. Eggplant, yeah.
That's right, Dr. Eggplant, the large purple. I used to interchange them, and people knew who I was.
So,
So how do you fix it?
So I go in and basically sew the rubber band back together.
So you have to cut, obviously.
The skin and pull it back and then sew that back together. And if you do that, everything's going to go back to normal. So
how soon?
It takes a while for everything to get back, usually 2 to 4 weeks before it's functional.
Uh-huh.
But, but you want to come right away because the longer it takes, and usually right away, people
come to the emergency room is what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because you're going to lose the erection because it's broken, and then you get this purple thing, and then you know right away to go to the emergency room.
Does the blood get reabsorbed into the body?
Yeah, your body will reabsorb. It's just like a huge bruise.
Yeah.
But what happens is that takes a long time. If I take you to the operating room and evacuate all that blood, you'll feel better a lot quicker.
Yeah, I gave blood through my arm, and they were taking platelets?
What, platelets.
Yeah, platelets, because I'm an O positive, and I guess that's a good blood to have or something. And the guy left the needle in too long, and I'm just like, hey, dude, I'm passing out over here. And I was left with this big black and blue mark under my skin, and they're like, oh, don't worry about it. It's all good.
Yeah, yeah, and just think that could have been from your penis.
That's right. I'm glad it wasn't, because I'd have a lot of splaining to do is all I'd have to say.
Next time you go in.
I swear to God, I was giving blood, honey. I swear to God. I'm telling you. I gave the platelets. It took a little longer. I thought they sold me on it. I didn't break my penis. Okay, so, wow. So how many cases of broken penises in Glenview do we get a month?
Oh, I see about one a year, 1 to 2 a year.
Okay, so if it wasn't Glenview, which is a pretty calm, let's say, lot of families, so let's say a college town.
You get downtown, you see a lot more.
You see a lot more as you come back into the urban communities where there's more single folk.
Right. More people participate in vigorous activities.
Rodeo sex.
There you go.
Ride that until you break the damn thing. Something like that?
I would have to agree with that description.
See, now there's a new contest at a bar. Let's break some penis tonight. 2-drink minimum. Bring it on. 312-521-8600. 312-521-8600. My wife is calling me right now as we're talking about broken. I swear to God, I'm looking at my cell phone right now, doctor, and there's my wife, Elise, trying to reach me. So I will put that. How ironic is that, right?
Well, she's probably, got something planned for you for the night.
I'm sure she doesn't.
That's what it is.
I'm sure it has to do with picking the kids up someplace. 312-521-8600. There's a very good shot that it's got to do with picking the kids up. Okay, doctor, let me just leave it at that. 312-521. Yeah, I wish it wasn't, but let's just say that man could dream. 312-521-8600 is the phone and the text line. Gary Meyer coming up in 33 minutes. You're listening to the Men's Total Health Show on WGN.FM. Brought to you by Dr. McGuire and the fine folks at the John and Carol Walter Urological Center at Glenbrook Hospital in Glenview. Dr. McGuire is the chief urologist at North Shore University Health Systems. He's been so kind enough to lend us himself for the past 12, 16 weeks, talking about men's health. And let's talk about picking a doctor. We got a couple minutes before the break, Doc, but let's talk about, throw out there what people, what factors, what variables, what should go into the decision-making when somebody's going to select a doctor to treat them. And in about 2 minutes, we'll hit the break and come back after the break and finish up.
So let's first say that, that the important thing is you've almost always got time. There are very few true emergencies, and that's why we started out talking what we're talking about today. You got a broken penis, you go to the emergency room, you get the guy on call. That's the way it is, and every urologist knows how to take care of this, take care of those problems, and take care of things. But once you've been diagnosed, you've got time. And even if you've been told you got cancer, cancers don't work where, oh my God, I've got cancer, I got to get it taken out tomorrow. That's not how it works. And so you have time to look around to get an opinion. It's especially true with prostate cancer, but it's true with bladder and kidney and things like that. We've shown time and time again that you need to do something serious if you've got a serious cancer, usually within 3 months in urology. So you don't have to rush. You don't have to go to the guy that your neighbor went to or your friend. Look around. Take time. Find somebody good. And find somebody that you're going to be comfortable with. As we talked about before, I've got patients that I've seen for 20 years. I know their kids, and I saw a guy today who sent me his son for a urologic problem. So what you need to do is to find somebody you're going to be comfortable with and somebody you can talk to and explain exactly what you're looking for out of the problem. There are a lot of specialists out there who I do surgery of one kind. You come in, you're going to get that surgery. That's not what you want. You want a guy who's going to look at you individually and say, okay, this is what I recommend, and we're going to work together to make sure this achieves what you want.
Does it make sense to keep it in the family because a lot of stuff is hereditary?
Oh, well, certainly that, but most things, even if they are hereditary, it is good to know what your neighbor had, what your dad and your parents had, absolutely, so we make sure we don't miss that. But a lot of people are so freaked out, well, my dad had this, I'm going to have it, and just telling them that, you know, in prostate cancer, the likelihood if your dad had it, you have it, is, you know, less than 1 in 10. So it's not really something you need to worry about.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, Doc. Going to come back, continue this conversation. Men's Total Health Show sponsored by Dr. McGuire and the fine folks at North Shore University Health Systems. Dr. McGuire is broadcasting from the John and Carol Walter Urological Center in Glenview at Glenbrook Hospital. We're going to pay some bills, Doc. Be right back. Breaking it down there for you, Doc. 312-521-8600, 312-521-8600. Go to WGN.FM to get podcasts of this show and other shows. This show will be up in about an hour and a half. Brian does a real good job cutting it up, cleaning it up, and getting it out there for people to download, forward, put on their Facebook page, their Twitter page, their Twitter feed, their LinkedIn feed, all that stuff. Great information over the past 12, 16 weeks, and love for you to share that information with your friends, family, coworkers, and neighbors. You're listening to the Men's Total Health Show on WGN.FM, sponsored by the John and Carol Walter Urological Center, Glenbrook Hospital in Glenview, Illinois. Dr. McGuire is the chief urologist at North Shore University Health Systems. And we were talking before the break, Doc, about finding the correct doctor, finding the right fit. Because, listen, some people, when you go for a massage, don't like a dude touching them if they're a guy. You know, some women don't like a woman touching them. Me, I just want strong hands to beat the crap out of me. I don't care. I don't care, you know, what, if you're a man or woman, you're my guy because, you know, we're buddies. And if I ever a problem with my pecker, I'm coming to you. But some people don't want to do business because it's business, right? You know, they don't want to go to a friend for their medical concerns. Some people don't like to come to me for their loans because they don't want me to know how much they make, you know. But it's like, seriously, right? It's like, I used to work out next to a gynecologist. I'm like, well, that must be a pretty interesting job. He's like, you know, they all look like bowling balls to me after a while, so it's really no big deal. So I'd rather go to a doctor, man or woman, personally, talking for my personal likes and dislikes, that is one of the leaders in the industry or in the field, and that's you guys, you personally, and your team at North Shore University Health Systems. How do you get over the phobia of the sexual divisions of church and state that some people have, or you just don't even fight it?
Well, so, you know, that there are female urologists. I am recruiting one now, that there are women who absolutely want to see a female urologist. And, you know, by God, that's why Baskin-Robbins says 31 flavors, to quote somebody,
yep,
is that, you know, you provide for them what they want. And I get it. And this is a very personal thing. And some people, you know, refuse to use the words. They come in to see me and there's something wrong down there. It's my favorite comment is, well, you're going to have to help me a little there.
There's a lot going on down there.
Yeah, there's something wrong down there. I'm going to have to be a little more specific.
Yeah.
So that, you know, this is something I deal with every day, and I talk about it, and it's just a normal thing for me. It's no different than you talking about what's the rate today or anything like this. And that's the way you should interact with your urologist. Bring up your fears. Bring up your, what are you really concerned about? Don't come in and say, well, they're going to be embarrassed if I say that. No, this is what we do all day. Come in and talk to us. Find somebody you can talk to who's got the ability to talk to you. There's a lot of people who have written a lot of papers and do a lot of things, and so they are seen as leaders of this. But you can't talk to them about anything, and so you got to find somebody you can talk to, because this is so personal and so important that it's not something that you want to just depend on somebody to look at you, or to look at you as just another prostate, just another penis. They want to look at all of you.
They're published but not polished.
Exactly.
And they don't have the bedside manner, and you could be the smartest guy in the world or the smartest woman in the world, but if you can't communicate with your patient and your patients don't feel comfortable talking to you about what their problems are, then, you know, I'd rather you go write another book or, you know, another paper, because you've got more a better relationship with a pen, a piece of paper, or a laptop or an iPad or whatever, or those type of devices, than you are dealing with a human being that is having medical issues that needs to have a compassionate doctor that understands what they're going through. And how do you teach that, though? Can you teach that?
You know, you can't, but one of the things you can do is, if you're lucky and you're like me in the position of hiring people, that's what I look for when I'm hiring people. I don't necessarily need, now I'm blessed to have some great partners, and we met Dr. Helfand and Dr. Albaugh on this,
yeah.
And, you know, great guys, brilliant people doing some brilliant things, but on top, the first and foremost, they're people. And that's what I look for, is somebody who knows how to interact with you. Because I don't care how smart you are, you got to be somebody who cares about people. And that's really what we are, first and foremost, as doctors, as anybody in the service industry. And we're no different than anybody else. You know, we're here to serve. And that's what we have to make sure that we never forget.
Can a patient come to you directly, or do they need to go to an internist first and get a referral to come to you? How does that work?
Anybody can, as it stands right now. It depends on your insurance. So first you need to check with your insurance. There are a million different insurance policies, and depending on who you are, some insurances pay for me to take care of you, some don't. You always have the right to pay out of your pocket, but that's outrageous for most people, so that doesn't occur. But most people, we take their insurance, and you're always welcome to refer yourself. I would say at this point in my career, I get more referrals from former patients than I do from doctors, because everybody knows somebody I've taken care of, and they said, hey, if you have this, it's no different than, you know, when all my friends tell me they're thinking about buying a house, I say, well, I've got the right mortgage guy. Mm-hmm. That's who you got to call. And that's the same thing that happens, is reach out and, you know, the power of who you take care of and show them you care. And not everything goes perfectly. We all know that. We all have complications. We all have side effects and things like that. But if we're all working together and doing it fairly and honestly, that really makes a difference.
And you know, I own a mortgage company like we talked about, and I'll give you an example. A lady called me today and said, you know, quote me, I want a quote. And I could tell right off the bat, there was no way I was going to get along with this lady. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, she, you know, I knew she wanted a low rate. I knew she was going to drive me crazy if I did her loan. So I quoted her rate. You know what I mean? And she's like, well, somebody's quoting me 4%. I'm like, then go with the person.
Go with them, yeah. And you know,
and I know that you're that type of, because we're friends outside of this radio show, we're friends. And I know you're like that too, that if it's not a good fit, because they might be too of this or they might be too that, and you're too much of this and a little of that, that you're not a fit for somebody, that you would stop and say, you know what, Sally and Jim, I'm going to go get my partner Jim or Joan in here because I think you might be a better fit. And how important is that to have a team around you that you could find the right doctor for the right patient?
Absolutely. And you need a team anyway, because we don't work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 365. We, you know, it's tiring work. So we, you know, I'm not digging ditches, but I need some time off. And when I'm off, I have great people who I know will take care of my patients as well as I do. And so you need to make sure you have a good team. You may have a superstar one guy, but he can't be there all the time. So you got to work with a group that you trust of good people who you know will come in and do things like that. And as you said, absolutely, there are patients you just don't get along with. I like people. I like to talk to them, but I also like to get in, get out, get your problems taken care of. If you want to sit and talk and hold my hand for an hour about Aunt Sally or things like that, I'm not the doctor for you. But if you got a real problem, I'm going to sit there and talk to you until we get the problem fixed.
Right. And how come, in your opinion, fellowships and board certified, and is that something that people should be looking for when searching for a doctor? Or is
absolutely.
That, and why?
Because the difference is, part of it's maturity, just that you've been out longer and you've been trained and you've gone to different places to see different options. Those are, you know, I did 6 years of training after medical school, and then I went to Sloan Kettering for 2 years. And those 2 years were probably the best years of my life of training, is that despite being 8 years versus 6 years, huge difference in what I saw, I interact with people. I saw people working at the highest level possible. And those are the kind of interactions you want. I think we give the same level of care here that we gave at Sloan Kettering. I'm 100% sure of that. But what happened was, by going to those experiences, gaining further training, just allows me further options to take care of people.
And what is a fellowship? What is a fellowship?
Fellowship is, so you go to medical school, and after medical school, you decide what kind of doctor you're going to be, and then if you're a urologist, you do a program which is 5 or 6 years. And then if you say, well, there's a certain aspect of urology I like better than others. Some people like kidney stones, so they go work with one of the real experts at kidney stones. Mm-hmm. Or I like cancer, so I went to Sloan Kettering, the world's best cancer hospital, and I spent 2 years just taking care of urologic cancers and really finding out what's at the forefront and how things are. And this is what you do. It's advanced training. Now, not everybody. There are lots of great doctors in Chicago. We're very blessed to be in this major metropolis with all these options. But if you have a choice, I think for the more advanced training really helps people to differentiate themselves.
Is there a designation on a credit card? On a credit card? On a business card? Sorry, on a business card stating that?
Usually not in urology, that they have been a very strong advocate of not putting that on your accounts. But when you see your doctor, ask them.
If you have any fellowships?
Yeah. Did you do a fellowship? What specialty training, how are you any different than any other doctor I see?
Okay. And how about, what does board certified mean?
So the American Board of Urology is something that says, we need you to make sure you're practicing medicine the correct way. It's a way of policing your field so that the people who are doing the wrong things, the people who are just in it to make money, who are doing unnecessary procedures to make money, those people are caught and found and things like that. So this is a way, and it's ideally they make sure we're doing enough continuing medical education to make sure we're on top of our field, that we're developing as the field does.
And if you were going in to pick a doctor, what other factors would you consider if somebody's like, you know what, I'm an African American man, I'm getting into the 40s, we talked about it, once you hit 40, it's 40 or 45 for African American men?
40.
So I'm 38. I got because I'm an African American male, the prostate risk increases at 40 instead of Caucasian male at 50. What, other than what we talked about, what's the other most important thing that they should be looking for when trying to pick a doctor? And can they go online to get this?
Oh, absolutely. You can go online and get in this day and age, if you Google me, you'll find a discussion of me talking about interacting with you. So you'll look at websites. It's no different than any other businesses, that you'll find websites, you'll find with lists of training and options and things like that. So that's absolutely a way to go for this. And you want to find somebody who is interested in your disease, has the same processes as you, but also has training you respect and that you think you're going to interact with well. Use your friends. Talk to them and say, hey, who would you recommend and where did you go? Now, remember, one experience can be over the top great. One experience can be over the top bad. And sometimes things just don't go right. I'm sure you've done that. You've done everything right on the mortgage. Everything's right. And then all of a sudden at the last minute, something falls apart.
Sure.
Wasn't your fault, but things go wrong. So don't necessarily rule out something based on one person's opinion, but certainly listen to them, and listen to them for, did the guy return my calls? Did he talk to me? Was it impossible to get an opinion from them? And those are the kind of things that you want to find out about. And do you think it's somebody that you can get along with? Everybody does very similar operations. So the idea that one person does a different operation or something necessarily 100% better than anybody else is not necessarily true. So you need to talk to somebody you trust.
You're listening to the Men's Total Health Show on WGN.FM. The show will be edited and put up on the website at about no later than 4 o'clock, we'll say. We'll put a little pressure on Brian. Harry, you got until 4 o'clock, buddy.
Unless he gets a broken penis.
I was going to say, unless he walks into some bone and breaks his penis. Now, then probably 6 o'clock, because that ride to Glenview now, right now, Brian, might be a little backed up, you know, due to rush hour traffic.
No problem taking the train.
No problem. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Broken penis on a train. Love that. Yeah. Your penis will really love that. It'll drop you off downtown Glenview. Take a cab right over. Dr. McGuire even pick you up in an ambulance. 312-521-8600. 312-521. It gives you something to strive for, Brian. It just lets you know you've got Dr. McGuire here, 847-503-3000. I've got a cell phone number. He'll be more than happy to put your penis back together if it ever gets broken. 847-503-3000. And the important thing is, Doctor, you could live in Beverly. You could live in, let's say, Geneva, Illinois. You could live all the way out in DeKalb listening to this right now. You could live in Carbondale, Illinois, all the way down in the southern tip. And, you know, you could live in England, London, England, and fly in to see you. So it's not just pigeonholed to the North Shore, if you will, in the northern suburbs. If you could hear the show, you could help people. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. And I've got patients that come to me from Michigan. We're some of the real leaders in identifying prostate cancers using MRIs. I've got people that come to all the way from over in the Detroit area to see me because they've found out about this. They're true believers in the technology, and they researched it, and they believe that I've been doing this the longest, and they want me to take care of them. So they drive over here from Detroit. I've got lots of people from all over the Illinois area who don't have, access to the medicine that we do here. We're blessed to have all these options. And so unless your doctor is talking to you about all these kind of things, if somebody's not telling you about, if you got kidney stones and they just want to take your kidney stone out, but they never talk to you about how to prevent your kidney stones, if you've got problems urinating and they're not talking to you about laser surgery, or they're not talking to you about urolifts, come see me. If they're talking about prostate cancer and they're not talking to you about active surveillance or using genetic markers or things like that, you need to come see us here at the Walter Center. We can help you. We can take care of you. As I said, we take almost all insurances. We go from that. And you need to go to a place where they're looking to promote outstanding care, and to do that with the future of medicine, which is clearly genetics and clearly involves much more than what we've ever done before.
Two quick questions before we end the show. What is active surveillance?
Active surveillance is you got prostate cancer, we're going to leave you alone because we think you're going to die with it, but it's never going to bother you.
Okay, and
like high blood pressure, we're going to tell you your prostate cancer is just like having high blood pressure.
That's kind of like a target. That's kind of like a flag, and that's something that we're going to just keep an eye on, and we don't have to worry
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
Okay, and there's been a lot of talk about the Obamacare the past couple of days with that schmuck that said that the American public are stupid, and we had to get this thing through because the people are stupid and they don't know anything. How has that bill impacted your ability to treat your patients? If you want to keep your doctor, you could keep your doctor. Is that true in your practice?
No. The first thing that happened is it has caused rationing, and the way it has caused rationing is by increasing the amount of money out of your pocket.
Right.
So patients are spending less money because it costs them more money out of their pocket. So it's effectively rationing health care, but it's making the patient do it because it's more out of their pocket by increasing their
deductibles.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my deductibles doubled. And I've got three girls under 11. I got 11, a 9, and a 6. And, I might as well have like a deli counter thing when I go in with my $25 deductible shot up to 50 in some instances. And it's like...
Right. And some of these policies that the Obamacare... on the exchanges where they say that the first 10 grand is out of your pocket. Right. Well, these are people that can't afford 10 grand. And you know that these are not going to help people get in and get improved care. So it's really a fascinating model where it is still in a great deal of flux.
Right.
There's going to be a lot that falls out of this and what we're going to end up with. You know, we spend too much money on health care in this country. We have unrealistic expectations that we should be absolutely healthy till we're 90, and then we should die with a perfect-looking corpse. But the reality is we're lucky, we're healthy, and we're healthier and living longer than we ever have before.
Right.
We got to figure out how to do that in a economically stable situation.
Well, I appreciate you sharing your Wednesday with us. As always, Doctor, you've been listening to the Men's Total Health Show on WGN.FM, sponsored by the John and Carol Walter Urological Center at Glenbrook Hospital in Glenview, co-hosted with me by Dr. Michael McGuire, Chief Urologist at North Shore University Health Systems. You could reach Dr. McGuire by calling him at 847-503-3000, 847-503-3000. I've known Dr. McGuire for about 8 years now, and we've built a great relationship outside the studio. We've educated the listeners in the studio, and we hope you've enjoyed the show. And, go to our website, WGN.FM, to download a podcast. Doc, I hope you have a great day, and thanks again for hosting the show with me, buddy.
Hey, it's a pleasure, and really enjoy working with you, man.
Take it easy, brother. Have a great day.
All right, you too.